Galatians 4. Here's what Paul's saying to the Galatian church. He's really saying one thing. And I want us to get this. Last week, Pastor Sean asked us this very important question about God's love for us. That's very important. But here's the biggest thing that Paul's talking about to the Galatian church. And this is what I want us to hear. He's saying to these group of people who've said yes to Jesus. Let me reiterate what Pastor Sean said last week. He's talking to a group of people who are saying yes to Jesus. If you're in this room today and you said, you know what? I've asked Christ to be a part of my life. Paul's talking to you. He's talking to you because there's some things, again, that he's saying that are not suggestions. I feel like as a culture, we've lumped people together and we've said things like they should live by this standard when they're not following Christ. That's not true. When we're talking to the church and you're saying yes, the conversation changes. If you're coming to me and you're saying I'm involved in sin and I'm not following Jesus and you're asking me my opinion, I'm going to first and foremost say, man, you got to give your life to Christ. But if you deny that, who am I to say whether you're living sin? Now, if you come to me and you say, man, I've asked Christ to come into my life, I want to be a follower of him, and I'm struggling in this area, the conversation is different because the command is different. So we've taken these standards, this blurred line, and we've said, well, these people need to live by this, and these people need to live by this standard. And Paul's going, actually, no, guys. I'm talking to you because early on, when Christ was presented to you, you said yes. And because you said yes, here's the standard. You are to be different. That's it. In a nutshell, you want to know what Galatians is about? Galatians is all about Paul talking to people that's going, you guys should be different. That's what he's saying. Let's read Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Verse 8. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from those things, for I've become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. Verse 19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, guys, I wish you would get it. If you're a parent in this room, you understand this conversation. You understand disappointment. Your kids will disappoint you. They will make decisions that you do not agree with. They will make decisions that you wish they would have never made, and they will disappoint, and that will never change. I imagine at 41, I still disappoint my parents. I'm sure there's certain parenting styles that I do that still disappoints them because we disagree on certain areas. Paul's telling the Galatian church, I'm disappointed in how you're viewing, how you're living, because the call is to live different. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Jesus said, you have heard that the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. So my question is, now that we know that God loves us, how are we different? See, this is a command to the church. How are we different from anybody else? And Jesus is saying, listen, it's super easy to follow the flesh. He's saying it's super easy to love people that love you and to hate people that hate you. That is super easy. But he's saying, I'm asking you to be different and to be different this way. When they hate you, pray for them. When they persecute you, love them. He goes on to say, if they ask for your shirt, give them. If they ask for your coat, give them your shirt. He's saying you be different, not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of transformation, for the sake of what God has done, for the example of what God has done. Not so people will look at you and go, man, look how different that guy is, but that people will look at you and say, there's something different. And you have something to point them to. This is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the call is different. And before we start blurring lines, because this is what we do, this is a command for everyone who follows Christ. Hear me, because I think there's moments where we as the church has taken our freedom, and I'm more mature, and so I can use my, and I'm okay in that. I can do this and I can do that because I'm stronger, I'm more mature, and so I can use my freedom to be around this and to do this. Let me just say, you can easily fall into the same temptation as someone who might be a little less mature than you in Christ. And I'll even say this. You might be able to be strong enough, but stop making it about us. The people around you may not. Your kids may not. Listen, I'm not harping on certain sins, but I think there's an attitude that we carry sometimes that says, I can do this because I'm free in Christ. And we carry this approach. And now all of a sudden, people are falling in the same temptation, and we're the ones that tempted them. All in an effort to be lights and to be relevant. Listen, there's nothing relevant about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you've heard love your neighbor. I say, don't hate your enemy, love him. What was relevant at the time? What was relevant at the time was, go with the flow. Hate. He's saying, no, I'm asking you not to. And here's the thing. Here's God's word for different. Hear this. God's word for different is holy. We've made that word different. God's word is holy. So culturally, we can say, yeah, he's different. But the call is to be different, but it's to be holy. Or as 1 Peter says it in 1 verse 15 and 16, be holy for God is holy. So the command is not to be kind of holy. The command isn't to kind of just be strong in these areas and weak in these areas. He's saying the command is to be like God, and to be like God, I have to be holy in all areas. What does it come down to? Paul's telling the Galatian church, take Jesus seriously. I feel like, this is me personally, I feel like when I stay in certain areas of sin or areas of weakness and I linger there, I'm telling God that he's not big enough to transform me in those areas. I think that's what my life speaks. My life is speaking that, God, I know you're holy, but there's no way I can come up to that standard. And so I throw out everything and say, I could just never get there. And I stay mediocre. I stay average, and ultimately I say things like, I don't understand why my life isn't a reflection of this. It's because for me personally, it's more talk sometimes than it is lived out. And that's difficult. So what's the problem with being different? The problem with being different is that you and I a lot of times don't want to be different. You know why I don't want to be different? Because I value conformity. I value conforming. I value being relevant. And so we don't become holy because we don't want to be so different. And we don't want to be so different because we don't want to carry a holier than thou attitude. And so we try then to fit in. And now we're not really standing out. And God's called us to stand out. And so we walk this fine line. And in the end of the day, it's the thing that we fear most. And so when you and I are free to choose what we want, we mock, we imitate. And God says, I want you to be imitators, but of me, not of the world. But you and I, we value conformity. I value conforming to my surroundings. And here's the other thing. We see holiness as different than Jesus does. I see being different than what Jesus does. We disdain the behaviors, the patterns of what it takes to be holy before God, what it takes to be different before God. Again, understand what he's saying in Matthew 5 and how different this was. This was an era, this was a culture where people were literally dying for their faith and what they believed in, and he's asking them to love the people that are their enemies. And you and I around this room, we don't really have enemies. Well, you don't know my coworker. I wouldn't say she's an enemy. I just think her personality is different than yours, and what she does gets on your nerves, but I wouldn't call her your enemy. An enemy was someone that wanted to kill you. I mean, that's a little different. You're going to work every single day, and you fear for your life. Family gatherings, you fear for your life. I'll tell you right now, if you fear for your life and your family, 4th of July family picnics look a little different. It's the wrong kind of fireworks, you know what I mean? They look a little different when you fear for your life versus what you and I have, which is, I just don't like the life decisions they're making, so I'm just not going to go to that family gathering. They're not your enemy. You're still not doing what Jesus asked us to do, which is the most difficult thing. How do you love people you disagree with? That's the question. How do you love people you can't stand? Well, we're not going to talk about that because we love everybody. I just love everybody, especially about 11:30 on Sunday. How do you do that? This is what Jesus values. And I think we misunderstand what it means to be holy. We misunderstand what it means to be holy. I think we think holy people are monks, people that are so far out there. And so because we misunderstand what it means to be holy, we think, I could never attain that, so we don't even go there. But to be holy, to be different, is I'm listening to what God says, and I'm doing what God says. And I'm not fearing what man says because I'm doing what God says. And so when I misunderstand being different, then now I'm not doing what God's called me to do because I have a misunderstanding. And then I don't even say that I have a misunderstanding because I can't say that without people thinking that I'm weird or something because I don't want to humble myself to tell people that I misunderstand it. Because our culture is not really good on telling people that we are wrong. Let me ask this. When was the last time you said to someone that you were wrong? Not that you were wrong from that person, but you said you were wrong. If you're married in this room, that happened this morning. When was the last time you looked to a person, whoever that is in your life, and you said, you might have even taken a step further. I was wrong and you are right. Huh, that's fun, isn't it? The sigh from all the men. Again, not your wife looked at you and said, you're wrong and I'm right. Totally different. You said, I'm wrong here. Listen, you know what we need to teach our kids? You know what I need to teach my kids? For them to say when they're wrong. Because as an adult, tell me this, you walk into your office environment and it's tensious. And it was tensious the day before, the week before, and you walk in and say, hey, before we even move forward, let me just say this. For my part, yesterday, the week before, I was wrong. And for what I did, I apologize. Don't tell me your atmosphere didn't change in that office. Your atmosphere totally changed. Why? because you chose to humble yourself and to be different. That's what holiness looks like. Holiness is not taking a stand and going, I'm going to stay right here until they admit that they were wrong. And when they admit that they're wrong, maybe then I'll apologize. That's not what Jesus says. That's our misunderstanding of holiness. When we start living on what somebody else does before we become holy, we've missed the point of what holiness is. They may never say they were wrong. That's not the point. The point is you need to take responsibility for what you are because God has called you to personal holiness. And I will tell you, the only way that any of this happens comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because on your own, you're not saying you're wrong. Right? We have a misunderstanding of what holiness is. The meaning of being different. I'm going to read Ephesians 5 to you right now. I'm going to read you 9 verses. You're going to hear me read it today. You're going to hear me read it the first weekend of August. I'm asking you to read Ephesians 5 for yourself over the next couple weeks and evaluate where you are. Ask God, show me where I am in this. I'll read it. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Well, let's just stop right there. Imitate God in everything you do. That's fun. Because you are his dear children. Again, he's talking to people who've said yes. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us. He offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. He's asking us, Paul to the Ephesian church, could you start smelling better? Could you put on some fresh cologne and perfume? No, hear this. He's saying a pleasing aroma. We know the latter. We know the bad aroma. He's saying a pleasing aroma. What? Being different, living holy, living righteous, living an example. He said, this is a pleasing aroma, not to people, to God. Okay? First and foremost, to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Woo! Yes, Lord. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins. These sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you are full of the light of the Lord, or you have the light of the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and pure. He's saying to the church, listen, you want, same thing that Paul's saying to the Galatian church. Listen, you used to be this. You used to be full of darkness. You used to be full of sin. You remember that lifestyle. You did all these things. That's not you anymore. Stop it. Stop doing what you used to do. Stop saying what you used to say. Stop joking the way you used to joke. Stop hanging around some of the people that brought you down. Like, listen, we've mistaken boundaries for love for people. There's some people in your life that you need to stay away from. Well, that's not very loving. No, you're just not in a very good season of your life. Stay away for a season. Well, how can I love them? You can love them. You can love them. Stop throwing out the boundaries and saying, well, I just got to keep them in. No. You need to take a season where you distance yourself so you can be with Jesus. Don't be afraid of that. Listen, I'm hanging out with some of my friends from high school last night, And it's good. It's good. It's been 20-something years. But there was a moment of distance that I had to have from these guys. Doesn't make them bad guys. It was for me to distance myself. It's not that I wasn't loving. It was that I needed a season. Okay? Stop being so spiritual that you miss the point of what a boundary is. Yeah? Listen, 1 Peter, verse 15, 16, the one that I read, there's a couple other verses in there. And these are just some real practical things of what holiness is. These are super easy. 1 Peter 1:13, holiness means we think differently. Verse 13 says it this way, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all of your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. He's saying, prepare yourself. Prepare what? Prepare your mind. Prepare your minds for action. And then there's a cuss word in there. There's a cuss word right in there. You know what that cuss word is? Exercise. Come on, somebody. He says the exercise word. Exercise self-control. Preparation. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for what God is calling you to do. Live right. Eat right. Exercise right. And it starts in the mind, because Proverbs tells us, for as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Listen, if you're constantly thinking wrong thoughts, and now all of a sudden you find yourself in a position that is wrong, it's not because you woke up one day on the wrong side of the bed and now you're in this position. It's because you've been thinking and dwelling on the wrong things, and now you're in a place where you never thought you would be. What do you need to change? The way you think. Change the way you think. Holy people think differently. And listen, people are going to think you're different. That's okay. It means we think differently. It also means we live differently. Verse 17, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. God doesn't have any favorites. You and I do, but God doesn't. Thought I'd get more laughter on that one. He will judge or reward you according to what you do, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as what? Temporary residence. This is not the end. And everybody said, amen. You will get a new body one day. Paradise. Jamaica, Mexico, all the time. He says, holiness means you live different. Again, I cannot reiterate this. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. He says you will live different. It means that you love different. Verse 21 says, through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him this great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart. Not half of it, not a quarter of it, but with all of your heart. He's saying, I'm asking you, you love different. This is what holiness means. This is a command. This is a command from Jesus himself that you are to love differently. Stop looking at how your friend loves. Stop looking at how your parents love. You love the way God has called you to love. And it's going to be different. And if it feels different, it doesn't feel like what culture tells you, it's because it's not supposed to. You're to smile when you want to frown. You're to love when you want to hoard. You are to give when you want to take. That's the way of Jesus. He says, this is holiness. That we think different, that we live different, that we serve and we love different. It's not supposed to make sense to the people that are benefiting from the love that God has given us. Because God's love is different. He gave. When we were still sinners, he gave. That is so different. Our culture says, I'll love you when you love me. God says, my love is different. It's not dependent on that. And then he ultimately says this, and this is my favorite part. We talk different. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2 of verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. You and I in this room, we all have 365 days. We all have 52 weeks. We all have 7 days in a week. And we all have an opportunity to do something that is very life-changing. Talk differently. That's what you and I have. That we can be different. And this, no doubt in my mind, is the hardest thing. Because you and I have a gift. And some of you in this room, you understand this gift. It's not in the Bible, but it is the gift of sarcasm. You thought it was a spiritual gift. It's not. Thing in the world for a lot of people, like adding. It is the most difficult thing in the world for a lot of people in this room to talk nicely. But understand this. Jesus has a measurement of how we're doing, and he measures how we're doing with how we talk. That's why he says there's some bad things that happen with idle words. What are idle words? Words that you say without even thinking. It's like, ooh, I wish I could put that back. It's impossible. You said it. It's out there. If you write it on paper, it's even worse. Ooh, put that in an email. Listen, families have been divided because of what has been said. Here's the beauty. You can change that with one word. The same word that divided your family, you choose different words, it could bring the family back together. The call is that you and I are different. We're going to sing a song, and it's an old one. And it's called I Found a Love. And some of the words that are said is, I found a love greater than life itself. And here's why I wanted to sing that song this week. Because you and I should be different. See, if you're in this room and you said, I follow Jesus, there's a standard that is automatically attached to that that you must live by. And I'll say this, some of you in this room, you've not been living to that standard because you're choosing not to go all in and take Jesus seriously. I'm letting you know up front, this is not a threat. It's not a, it shouldn't be taken offensively, but it is a warning that we're living very dangerous to what he just talked about. Don't slip back into the old way of thinking or to the old lifestyle. We're living very dangerous on the line of slipping back. And before you start thinking you're so mature in this room that there's no way you'd slip back, don't do that. Don't do that. Again, this is not a suggestion for us on the 4th of July weekend. This is a command from the Lord that you and I are called to be different. Yeah? Yeah. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the life transformation that only comes from Jesus. God, there are some things that change us. There's some strategies, plans that help, but only you transform. Only you can take a heart that is cold, hard, and soften it. God, it's what you do. You transform so that we can live out the gospel, so that we can love the way you loved us, so that we could give the way you gave. And God, in this room are men and women who are represented that have been transformed. They've said yes. Some a year ago, some 10 years ago, some 40 years ago, they said yes to Jesus. And the call, the command is no different. There's an expectation, the same expectation that was on the Galatian church is on Life Community Church, is on the church of the United States of America to live a life that is holy, for you are holy. And we are to be imitators of Almighty God, not conforming to the ways of our culture or the ways of the world, but being renewed by you. Our minds are being renewed. Our lives are being renewed by the gospel. And God, I pray for any person in this room that needs a nudge, God, that you would nudge them. That eyes are being opened to the truth of what you're saying and who you are. God, we sing this song as a declaration. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope. God, I pray that Life Community Church would be known as a church that is holy and righteous and that goes after Jesus. But more than that, that we are imitators of Jesus himself. God, that is my prayer. God, I pray that you would give us a clarity on what it is to be different. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?
By grace I'm free.